Good morning, everyone. God is good.
All the time.
Oh, no. God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
Welcome to St. John's United Church of Christ as we gather to worship on this almost spring day. It's going to be up in the 40s later today, so I like the fact that I didn't have to clean any snow off my car or my steps to be here today. We do have announcements in the bulletin there, but before we start, Kyle has some things to share. We'll do that first.
Okay, there we are. I'm going to step over here, get out of the dead space for a minute. So, good morning, everyone. As you know, we did have our Super Bowl event 2 weeks ago, and I had everybody take a guess as to who they thought would win the Super Bowl in order to try and win a $25 Kroger gift card. We were going to do the drawing last week, but because of the snow and everything, I decided to postpone it 1 week, so we are going to hold that drawing today. I'm going to have Pastor Marty select our winner out of this basket here, everyone who selected correctly, that the Eagles won the Super Bowl. So Marty, please do the honors for me.
This isn't a very big basket, by the way.
I know.
I mean, yeah.
Our office was limited on baskets today.
Well, a garbage can would have worked.
We'll do that for next year. All right, who you got?
Oh, no. Steve Tweehughes.
Steve, where are you? I saw you earlier, just a second ago. He's hiding somewhere, so...
He forgot he's my usher for the day.
I know. There we go. Steve, congratulations. You can buy eggs this week. I'll be back to give you your gift card here in just a minute. So, the other thing I wanted to kind of announce today, we are going to be starting something new as well, another luncheon next month, a little St. Patrick's Day celebration. So following worship, we'll head down to Fellowship Hall, get together just for some fun, and we'll do a little potato bar luncheon with that. I only have one sign-up sheet for this one, this time up here by the baptismal font. I do apologize, we just made a change. The church will be providing the potatoes, so we are looking for different toppings for potatoes, which we have all of them listed up here of what we need, or you are more than welcome to bring any type of salad or dessert that you would like. So if you are so inclined to please sign up to bring something, we would greatly appreciate it. And then also we have RSVP slips in the bulletin, kind of like the Super Bowl luncheon, just fill it out, place it in the offering plate, or let Kelly in the office know, and she'll put you down just so we know a rough count of how many to expect and how many potatoes to get. But it'll be a fun little day to celebrate St. Patrick's Day a day early on the 16th. And then, yeah, we will get together after that. So if there are any questions, just ask me, anybody on the leadership team, Kelly, Marty, all of us are aware of it. So thank you, guys.
Thanks, Kyle. The announcements are all on that insert sheet. The pause for Lent there, that's going to be the Saturdays during Lent, every Saturday from 10 to 11. Beginning on the 8th of March. Laura is sort of running. She has some booklets available, three or four of them. If you want to be part of that, you haven't gotten a book yet. Some of the folks who have been in the Saturday morning things have already received one. So let's check with her. She's going to hang around a little bit after church. Also, the prayer partners for Lent, there's a sign-up sheet in both doorways to be that so we can pray for one another. I will get those ready and hand those out to you on the first Sunday in Lent. We can do that during the Lenten season. Just a reminder for Ash Wednesday, which is March 5th, there'll be two services. The one at noon is strictly for a liturgy with ashes only. It's just to receive the imposition of ashes. I used to do that at St. Peter and St. Paul. There was a lot of workplaces, and people would just come just to receive their ashes in the service. It's a fairly simple service. The evening one will be one with music, and Robson will be here. We will do ashes and communion at the 7 o'clock service. And again, if you did not get a cookbook, they found some more, so just call the office, talk to Kelly, and we can make sure you get those. Are there any other announcements for the good of the community? If not, let us open our minds and hearts in an attitude that allows God's presence to move among us as we prepare to worship God this morning.
Thank you. morning. Those who are able, please stand and join me in the call to worship. Come near to the one whom we can trust. God will give us the desires of our hearts. God has provided for us day by day and preserves us in the midst of life's difficulties. Dwell together in the security God offers and do not fret about the world's standards. We would be still before the majesty of God and wait patiently for the Spirit's leading. Open yourselves that God may equip you to love, to forgive, and to give. We seek to respond to the God who loves us by loving as we wish to be loved. Let us worship our loving God. Please join with me in the prayer of adoration and confession. Lord of life, you have called us here to worship you in spirit and in truth. We have received so many of your kind gifts: forgiveness for the sins we commit, compassion for the pain we endure, hope for the years ahead. May we have the humility to bow before you in thankfulness. Gracious and merciful Lord, we have come to you in this time of worship as broken individuals. Dreams of what we could become frighten us. The demands of our faith tire us. The anger of our hostile world enrages us. We have hidden from your perfect love, which can take us through these difficult days. Let your grace embrace us as we seek to reinvest our lives in you. Restore our dreams as visions of hope. Remind us of your demands as joyous service. Replace our anger with an outflowing of compassion. In all of this, assure us of your abiding presence among us all. Amen.
Hear the good news. God is kind, even to the ungrateful and the selfish. Receive God's forgiveness that you may leave behind the image of dust with its hatred, judgment, and revenge. God seeks to implant in us the image of heaven, empowering us to love our enemies, bless those who curse us, and pray for those who abuse us. Because God loves us, we are enabled to treat others as we wish to be treated. Dearly beloved, believe the good news. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven, now and forever. Amen.
You may be seated. The first scripture reading for today comes from what we call the Book of the Law, the Torah, Genesis 45, verses 3 through 11 and 15. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still alive?" But his brothers could not answer him, so dismayed were they at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come closer to me." And they came closer. He said, "I am your brother Joseph, whom you sold to Egypt. And now do not be distressed or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. For the famine has been in the land these 2 years, and there are 5 more years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvest. God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to keep alive for you many survivors. So it was not you who sent me here, but God. He has made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and ruler over the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, 'Thus says your son Joseph, God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, do not delay. You shall settle in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near me, you and your children and your children's children, as well as your flocks, your herds, and all that you have. I will provide for you there, since there are 5 more years of famine to come, so that you and your household and all that you have will not come to poverty.' And he kissed all his brothers and wept upon them. And after that, his brothers talked with him." The second scripture reading for today comes from Book of Psalms, Psalm number 37, verses 1 through 11 and 39 to 40. "Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Live in the land and enjoy security. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act. He will make your vindication shine like the light, and the justice of your cause like the noonday. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret over those who prosper in their way, over those who carry out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It leads only to evil. For the wicked shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. Yet a little while, and the wicked will be no more. Though you look diligently for their place, they will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The salvation of the righteous is from the Lord. He is their refuge in the time of trouble. The Lord helps them and rescues them. He rescues them from the wicked and saves them because they take refuge in him. Thanks be to God for these words from his holy scriptures.
As we continue in God's Word, our gospel text is from the Gospel of Luke in the 6th chapter. That's verses 27 through 38. And so here we're talking about what love is. And Jesus is really talking about love for enemies. That's actually the rubric in the New Revised Standard Version. So listen to these words from Luke. Jesus is speaking and says, "But I say to you, that listen. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you, and if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. If you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. If you lend to those from whom you hope to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners receive as much again. But love your enemies, do good, and lend, expecting nothing in return. Your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful just as your Father is merciful. Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. May God bless this reading, hearing, and the understanding of the Holy Word. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. There are a lot of important passages in this Bible about love. One of them is at the beginning of the gospel reading today, is, I say to you that listen, love your enemies. But before we get to that, I wanted to at least look at some other love passages in the Bible. And so in the bulletin, there's a list that I'm going to share with you of the top 10. They're not in any particular order. I sort of put them in that order theologically, in a way that teaches us about the nature of love according to God. And so the top 10 is, in 1 John 4:8, God is love. 1 John 4:19, we love because God first loved us. Romans 5:5, God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Deuteronomy 6:5. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. For those of you who grew up in a confirmation class, that's one of the memory verses that might be familiar. And the law, another book of the law, Leviticus 19:8. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's in the Hebraic law. John 3:16, a text that most of us know. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, or begotten son, depending on what version you live. John 13:34, love one another just as I have loved you, Jesus said. You should also love one another. The next verse, John 13:35, by this everyone will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We're one in the spirits based on that verse right there. 1 Peter 4:8, maintain constant love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sins. And 1 Corinthians 13:13, that's the love chapter that Paul writes. At the end it says, faith, hope, love abide, these three, but the greatest of these is love. So when you put all those together, we have a pretty good idea, a picture of what love is according to Scripture. God is love. God, to me, God and love are sort of synonymous. There's not a difference between them. God loves us, will always love us. Why? Because God is love. And we are commanded to love our God, not to earn it, but to return it, to give back. And we love because God loved us first. And it says God's love's been poured into our hearts. And that is why we can love God. And that's how we can love one another, just as we've been commanded. The reality is we don't do that very well. We sin. But the thing about it is, God's love always remains. It's always out there. And so it goes on to say, God so loved the world that he gave us his only son, who loved us, who died for us, and who taught us how to love. And so then we are taught to love others as we read those stories of Jesus through Scripture, what he has done for us. And we're taught that our love for one another is what will show the world that we are followers. And it does cover all sorts of sins, whatever else our shortcomings are. We love one another. We do that with family, with friends, companions, because the greatest of all God's gifts is love. And so God says we should love our neighbors, love one another, and yes, even love our enemies. I know that sometimes when we read Scripture, we'll say, you know, that's asking an awful lot about what we need to be about. Love our enemies, do good to those who hate us, bless those who curse us, pray for those who mistreat us. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. On and on. And I think Jesus' followers, as I sort of told a story last week about the stories about how the disciples responded in the same way it is. Their disciples are saying, really, Jesus? We need to follow this too? Love these people over here? They're difficult. I think over the course of time, sometimes we've misused them. It's easy to ignore them. It just really is. Maybe that little golden rule that's in the middle of the reading today, like a bumper sticker theology, is slapping on your car. Focus on that, but can we just stick to the one? That would be the question we would ask. Or maybe this greatest commandment, you know, to love God and your neighbor. But God, why do we need to love our neighbor? Why? And yet Jesus, in some pretty uncertain terms, is saying, you need to do that, people. And we can't just cut and paste things that Jesus said that we like and ignore the hard stuff. We have to tackle that too. I don't know how you function. I'm very list oriented. I remember back when I found out my tendon had popped, and all of a sudden I told the doctor, said, on Thursday you're going to have surgery on Tuesday morning. So I had Friday and Monday to get all the stuff done for the hospital because they're not open on the weekend. And my sister wants to talk to me about what we're going to do. I texted her. I says, I need to make a list. So I do everything I can do first, the easy stuff, and then you do the hard stuff. Jesus is challenging us that you always have to include the hard stuff. We need to do that. And that's difficult. So when I think of people that I've looked at who have been able to do that in their lives, I read a number of different folks when I was in seminary and continue to read about people in the Christian world. And the one that really stands out to me about in extreme circumstances who endured hatred and abuse and still managed to love others was Archbishop Desmond Tutu, who died in December of 2021 of cancer. But he had a legacy of what it was to be a Christian and to live the hard, loving life. If you know, he was a leader in South Africa when they were trying to dismantle apartheid. He was part of that struggle. And he made a lot of enemies along the way. And I was able to hear him speak at one point. And I think what makes him a great example of this gospel reading is that he loved even those who were hating him. And he never became bitter or hateful. He never deviated from what he learned from Scripture, what the Bible taught him, to love and forgive one's enemies. And he sort of managed throughout his entire life to keep that focus. So he was asked his secret about how did he do that? How was he able to accept these challenging teachings of Jesus and still do that? Of course, he was like every preacher. We have complicated and easy answers. And so the simple answer he gave in an interview, he said, I hold on, and often only by the skin of my teeth, to believing that God is in charge of his world in spite of all the appearances to the contrary. And so if you truly believe that God is in charge of the world, I think that's how Bishop Tutu met those challenges. Praying for those who mistreat you, forgiving those who hate you, all those things that Jesus asks us to do. And so it was a simple answer. It was a simple, you know, God's in charge of the world, and that's what you do. And then he had a book called No Future Without Forgiveness. It had a more complicated answer in there about that. And then he talks about forgiveness is a process. It's not something that I just say to you, I forgive you for what you've done. It is a process. It's sort of like our journey of our faith. It's not just a simple, yes, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's just the first step. It's what we do after that. It's a process of getting into a relationship. And forgiving is the same way. And so he puts it, he says, forgiving and being reconciled to our enemies or our loved ones are not about pretending that things are other than they are. It's not about patting one another on the back, turning a blind eye to the wrong. True reconciliation exposes the awfulness, the abuse, the hurt, the truth. It could even sometimes make things worse. It's a risky undertaking, but in the end it is worthwhile because in the end, only an honest confrontation with reality can bring real healing. Superficial reconciliation can only bring superficial healing. And he goes on to say, forgiving is not forgetting. It's actually remembering, and remembering not to use your right hand to swing back. And it's a second chance for a new beginning. So when I'm in a good place, I understand that. God is in charge of this world in which I live and inhabit and work. And as long as I keep that in the back of my mind, nothing else really matters because God's in charge. Bishop Tutu knew how to live that. And I know that sometimes I like to take matters into my own hands, and that's not what Jesus is saying here. You know, because I want to respond and I want to retaliate and I want to do something. But we have to be able to forgive, to love, and that's what's doing it. And so much of our Christian faith and our belief in God, you know, we say that God is in charge of the world. We say that God created the world. We say all those things, but to really believe it all the time, that's hard. And turning the other cheek and all those things. Being raised as a good German, stubborn. You know, we always said, I can forgive but can't forget. We had all those things that are always like a revenge thing somewhere built in. And as a Christian, that's antithetical against what I understand. But I think if Bishop Tutu were still alive and he was here today to speak to us, he says, I'm just doing what I think is right. You need to look over here to Jesus. Because that's probably his model. And he's a better role model. And so when I went back and started to flip through scriptures and I think about the stories of how Jesus lived his life to show his disciples, and then we, 2,000 plus years later, as we read about it, to see how he responded in those situations he was in, which were probably a lot way worse than what you and I go through. And he did all the things I think he did because he truly believed that God was in charge of the world. And he chose to love his enemies. And so, you know, we're going to start Lent here on March 5th, and then we get down and we get to that Holy Week, and we read this whole story of the arrest in the garden and all the things that go on to lead us up to Good Friday and then Easter Sunday. And in there we hear, you know, they mocked him, they spat on him, they hated him. And even when he's on the cross at his crucifixion, we know we do those seven last words we talk about. And at the one he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I mean, even when he's dying, he's still forgiving those around him. And I think because he was filled with the faith and the conviction that God is in charge of the world, in spite of all the evidence to the contrary. I feel like that sometimes. I had a parishioner at St. Peter and St. Paul, and I know his wife called me, and I came to see him. And he was in such a state of depression. He couldn't watch the TV. He couldn't listen to the radio. They weren't internet people. But all the news at the time, whatever it was, all it was depressing to him. He never saw the good, ever. And so I tried to walk down this theology path of God's love because he was a faithful Christian, but he just couldn't get beyond all what he saw was wrong going on in the world. Never saw the good. In the last passage, I keep thinking, you know, sometimes we do things because we're human. And sometimes it's the way we were raised. And sometimes it's the situations in which we've been in. But at the end of this text today, Jesus goes on to say, do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. And sometimes we forget. You know, that's a two-edged sword sometimes. But Jesus did all of these things for us. And we say that we are followers of Jesus or we're Christians, however you describe this faith journey we're on. And Jesus didn't come to judge us or to condemn the world, but he came to save the world. And in saving the world, that's you and me. He saves us as well. But in the same way, Jesus, because he has saved us, sends us out, so that we can share that love with others. That's what we're about, is to share what we have received. And we really need to trust in the one who's in charge, even in the midst of thinking it's not. Bishop Tutu said, God's dream is that you and I and all of us will realize that we are family, that we are made for togetherness, for goodness, and for compassion. And so I think we need to remember and be reminded that we are part of a family. You know, we have a biological family. We have integrated families, however that works. We have our church family. You have friends that you hang out with. Sometimes families define differently. It's not always blood. But how do we share with others that we're all part of the one body of Christ? God has challenged us, Jesus has challenged us, to love one another, love your enemies. So as you journey this week, continue to think about how is God interacting with you? How do you treat those around you that you don't particularly care for? Or be they rubbed you the wrong way, you know? It takes me 25 minutes to get here on Sunday morning, and there are a lot of times I lose my religion on the highway. If you don't use that little thing, tell me you're changing lanes, I'm a little ticked off about that. That's my pet peeve. But in the same thing, I think, well, maybe they weren't paying attention, or maybe they weren't. I don't think like that when I'm on the road, but now I think back and I think, you know, I need to forgive them for that. Luckily, I'm paying attention because I drive defensively and I think everybody else is crazy on the road. But that's the way that's how I function. But you need to forgive people. It's hard. So even in those small things like that illustration on the highway, how do we understand who people are? How do we love them and take care of one another? Thanks be to God. Amen. Our affirmation of faith today, for those of you who have been in the United Church of Christ since the inception or for most of your lives, this is the original statement of faith. The merger was in 57, and the first synod or national meeting was in 1959, and this particular affirmation of faith was drafted. There's like two or three other variations that have come along in the time, but this is the original. So I'm going to ask those who are able to please stand. Let us affirm our faith. Say standing for our hymn. So together we affirm. We believe in God, the eternal Spirit, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father, and to his deeds we testify. He calls the world into being, creates man in his own image, and sets before him the ways of life and death. He seeks in holy love to save all people from aimlessness and sin. He judges men and nations by his righteous will, declared through prophets and apostles. In Jesus Christ, the man of Nazareth, our crucified and risen Lord, he has come to us and shared our common lot, conquering sin and death, and reconciling himself. He bestows upon us his Holy Spirit, creating and renewing the Church of Jesus Christ, binding in covenant faithful people of all ages, tongues, and races. He calls us into his church to accept the cost and joy of discipleship, to be his servants in the service of men, to proclaim the gospel to all the world and resist the powers of evil, to share in Christ's baptism and eat at his table, to join him in his passion and victory. He promises to all who trust him forgiveness of sins and fullness of grace, courage in the struggle for justice and peace, his presence in trial and rejoicing, and eternal life in his kingdom which has no end. Blessing and honor, glory and power be unto him. Amen. You may be seated. As we come to God in prayer this day, are there joys or concerns to be shared with this congregation this morning? If not, I want to welcome two people back up here, not in their usual spot. Yvonne and her daughter Sarah are sitting. Yvonne usually sits back here so she can hit me with her cane when I exit after church. She fell a couple weeks ago, and she was going to show up last week with a neck brace and all black and blue, but snow kept her away, but we're glad she's up and with us. Chuck in the back had some surgery this past Tuesday, and overnight, I think, and then home, so he's back here in the back holding down the back end of the church where he always sits. So we're glad surgery went well, healing's going well, and they're able to be with us again. Reverend Andrew Birkin, my friend and colleague, his recovery is really, really slow. A lot of concern. They're trying to bring him out of that medical coma. He's got a lung issue they're trying to take care of. He doesn't always respond as they would like, so they're still playing with all of that. Family is still positive and upbeat. It's a long process. He's been there long enough that he needs the care of the hospital, but you all know how the insurance game is played. So they may have to seek a place to move him. Michael texts me. He gets the information from the family, and he forwards them to me. And the last time he sent me one, I just says, my heart aches. I don't know what else to say. Andrew and I are the same age. I've known him my entire career. So it's hard when someone you know can't respond. So We just keep praying. And we're not in charge, right? That's what I was just preaching. It's God's world. So we continue to pray for him and his family. There's always in the bulletin, there's a whole list of individuals, people, and things that are going on in the world. So we don't name them separately. We do have the two churches, St. Mark's Latonia, where Rachel Wierig is, and St. John Congregational in West Covington, where Jim Hill's pastor. And we remember all of these individuals. I think that it's always a positive thing to remember. In the bulletin every week, too, there's always the homebound. I know that in my career, I've always written notes to those folks who don't attend all the time. I've been doing that in retirement care. I think I learned that from my dad. But I find out that, you know, when John goes to visit, especially those who I have not yet seen because of my mobility thing, they just hold a note up. They love to hear from us. You know, handwritten note. You know, as much as I text a lot of you, that's how I keep in touch. And it's nice to hear from you, and it's nice to say thank you and wish you well and all those kinds of things. But a handwritten note means you took time to remember that person. So take time. Let these people know that you love them. They're part of the body of Christ. So as we come before God in prayer this day, I'm going to center ourselves as we prepare to come before God and let the Spirit move among us. So I'm going to ask you to take a deep breath and then release it and breathe in God and breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Breathe in God. Almighty and gracious God, for this day, for this time of worship together, we give you thanks. We're grateful for the weather, and we are grateful that it was time to break a little bit, that we could gather together. But we've gathered together this day to worship and to lift before you our joys and concerns, to be aware of your presence in our lives, and to feel that Spirit as it moves among us. We pray for those who may be weeping and for those who cause their weeping. We pray for those who may feel there's no hope and meaning in their lives. We pray for folks who are looking for something to do and finding nothing at this point. So give them hope and understanding. We live with wars and rumors of wars. We hear distorted news, not only in the world, but in God's word. We pray for those who are recovering. We pray for those who are continuing to be in the hospital and being taken care of by the medical staff there. We pray for each one of us and our need. So we continue to pray, and in our praying, we love. So continue to be with those that we're lifting aloud and silently this day. May they be touched by your Spirit in some special and significant way, either through the presence of the Spirit or a person's presence or a touch. May each of them personally know that they are being thought of this day and every day. But most of all, God, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus. And all of these prayers we offer to you in his name with the prayer that he has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you.
God has favored us beyond our ability to appreciate and has fed us even when we knew no hunger. Our Creator has been our refuge amid dangers we did not discern and has saved us from the hell our poor choices have produced. How will we express our thanks? The ushers may now come forward.
Thank you.
Please join with me in our prayer of dedication. With these offerings, we would extend your love, O God, to those who have not experienced its healing power. May hatred be overcome and enemies turn from their evil intent. May the joy we know as we give flow out to those who benefit from our gifts. In Jesus' name, amen. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. It is about our faith. It's where we're grounded. We understand God's love. We share with others what it is to be here, why this is important to us to gather. Share the good news with those who need to hear it. And so until we meet again, let us go in the name of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let us go in peace. Amen.